This is Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams.
Greetings. Well, here we are again back at Table Talk. This is Chief Ronnie J. Coleman, retired State Fire Marshal from the state of California. And once again, we're being joined at Table Talk with Chief Mike Dyer from Santa Barbara County. Glad to have you back with us again, Mike.
Thanks, Chief. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, last time we talked an awful lot about the past and the present and the future of the fire service. And there's one thing that's common on all three of those, and that is somebody's got to do the job. We got to hire people, we got to promote those people, and we've got to cultivate the future. I'm kind of curious from your point of view as a modern fire chief, what are you looking for in a candidate? What should they come to you being prepared to do?
Well, I'd say coming in the front door as a firefighter candidate, they've got to have their EMT. If they've been in a fire academy, I think that helps. Fire science, any fire science training that they can have. I think on the experience side, have they worked on an ambulance company, a hotshot crew, a fuels crew, anything in the people service emergency work arena? And I think it always helps if you've been in the military. I think that's a tremendous training ground for our firefighters, because we are a paramilitary organization. The discipline, the commitment, the passion it takes to be in the armed services and serving for our country is really unique, but it also is unique to the fire service as well. And so I think that helps. Then you have the intangibles. You have passion to want to serve, commitment to want to serve. You enjoy working with people, for people. And I emphasize for people as well, because that's what we're doing when we serve. I think, too, you got to be able to work in a team environment. You're not by yourself. You're not individualist in the fire service. Some of the parts are always more than an individual. And I think, you know, as far as firefighters go, I don't think it's hugely. I think it's evolved a little bit from the standpoint of the fire academies and the EMT and some of these other things. But I think the intangibles that I just mentioned are what we looked for even 20, 30 years ago. We wanted that type of individual that was committed to serving.
Very interesting. You know, on the one hand, as you're describing that, I kind of characterize that as the paperwork side of things. I'm certified. I got my EMT. I've been to the fire academy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the other side, we're talking about the intangibles, that, you know, that sense of passion and that sense. Those are really two different ways of measuring human performance. One of them is kind of, I got a check in the box. The other one, you got to kind of watch and see if they really do it. As we're having this particular interview, you have recently completed a recruit academy for your department.
That's right.
And during that particular process, you probably started off with a pretty good sized talent pool. You have to remember how many people were in the original pool?
We started off with roughly 1,000 candidates.
1,000 people that said, I'm interested in being a Santa Barbara County fireman. How many did you end up with in class?
Well, we ended up with 17 in the class, and we still have some folks that are still on the list, and we had a mixture of non-paramedics and paramedics on the list. Okay.
Well, the reason I'm talking about that is this kind of like a funnel, isn't it? You got 1,000 people out here, and only a certain number of people are getting through that little tube that gets to be a firefighter. And when we were talking to one of your training captains this morning, we got into a discussion with him about expectations, about how you set expectations for new employees and so forth. So let's take that skill set that you just identified, and let's take those intangibles and ask you this question. What do you expect out of a young firefighter for the first year on the job?
Well, I expect the firefighter to really exude our core values that we have in the Santa Barbara County Fire Department that we look for when we first hired them. But I look for that commitment, that continuous commitment to be better, to work hard, to be passionate about what they do, to be a good teammate. And I think overall, that's what I expect the most out of them. I think we're very lucky here in Santa Barbara County. We get the cream of the crop, and we should because of the department that we are. But I think instilling those core values when they first come in and letting them know. Also, I think about your history in your department. The history of service is important. You got to know about the legacy of the department's service to the community. And I think that's important, too, for them to know what that is.
Now, that's interesting because I've had discussions with many departments that think history is just prologue. I mean, it's just there and, you know, whatever. And I've heard other departments that place a lot of emphasis on traditional values that come from their history. Can you kind of address that perspective a little bit? Because I heard that, by the way, from your training captain this morning.
I think this department has a rich history since 1926 of providing the highest level of service possible. We've morphed from a forestry department into a multi all-hazard risk organization where we provide services in hazardous materials, EMS, urban search and rescue, and so on, as you're well aware of. But I think if you look back at our history of providing service, I think it's important to look back and see where you came from, because you could never really know where you're going until you know where you came from. And then you can really take stock in what we did before. I think, too, there's a balance there. You have to look at where you came from, take all the good things that you did through your history, and keep those, and then some of the things that you need to change, you change. And that's part of evolving. I think that you don't throw everything out and forget what your history is. You can't do that because, especially in this organization where it's been a fine organization, historical, it's a member of FireScope, one of the original members of FireScope. This organization has a rich history, and it's very important to remember that history. And I even though I came from an organization with a rich history, I really, really respect this organization's history and what they've done for the citizens of Santa Barbara County.
Very interesting. Having some role in the early days of FireScope, I can remember when I think there were 7 agencies that formed FireScope originally.
That's right.
And I remember Santa Barbara being one of those. So you're right. You guys have contributed significantly to the fire service. Well, let's kind of go back to this idea of looking at this entry-level type person. We all know that firefighters have a probationary period. And speaking from a pragmatic point of view, I would tell you that I've drawn the observation that sometimes people do really, really well through their probation. The minute they get off probation, they start changing. What's your observations about that?
Well, I think you have some that do that. I think it's that old saying about being in the blue chair after hours. They're in the lose position in the blue chair right at 5 o'clock every day. And as you know, when you're a probationary firefighter, it's frowned upon. And occasionally you do see that person who immediately changes, but you know that you have the special type of individual that you need to do this job when they don't do that, and that they're working even harder after their probation. And I think remembering where you came from is important, and we could, you know, talk about mm-hmm. that as we promote up the ladders, remembering where you came from. But remember, I tell people, remember what it took to get here. Mm-hmm. Remember what you went through. Remember the sweating, the worrying, the preparation. Remember what it took to get here. It's a very, very special opportunity to become a firefighter and everything about it, to be able to serve people. And just remember that every day, that that badge that you wear is very, very, very special, and the opportunity to serve is special.
I actually had a practice at one point in time when I was an academy commander. I used to have my rookie firefighters write themselves a letter that I gave back to them 366 days later. It was, they had to write a letter to themselves, like, this is why I did this, this is what I want to be, this is what I believe in, et cetera. And then a year later, when they were off probation, I give them the letter back and say, open the letter up and see if you still feel that way.
Well, I think, too, I mean, when I look back on my career, my first year on the job, I worked extremely hard. But, you know, I even look back now, and there's things that I could have done better, too, even in my first year. And I think it's important, like you said, with that letter example, is to reflect back on that first year and how you acted, how you performed. And really, that's the way you get better. You go back and look at, hey, how did I do? You know, besides the input that you get from your captain, you know, I think over the years, too, you can also, even the following year and the following year, go back as you progress up the ladder and look and reflect on how you acted as a person, how you treated other people. You know, I think we'll talk about this more, but I've noticed people do change when they want a position of authority or they're on a list. I remember having somebody come into me and ask me, you know, to recommend them for promotion, and I always remembered watching them in the station, how they treated people. And they didn't treat people, this person didn't treat people very well. And I thought, you know, do you remember how you act? I asked him, did you remember how you acted toward other people? And, oh, you know, he's making all these promises of being different. And it's like, you know, you had 10 years of acting a certain way. You know, how does that change? And I think it's important to always go back and say, you know, look at how you treated other firefighters. How did you serve? How did you act? You know, because I think you'd agree, we all, you know, you know, everybody watches each other around here, and your actions speak louder than words.
That's a very prophetic statement, because actions do sometimes overwhelm what you say. That's a very, very good phrase, Chief. I appreciate you offering that. Let's talk just a little bit about the next step of the way. Because, you know, if we're looking at the fire service as having its primary entry point is at the firefighter level, and its primary exit point is the fire chief or some other job even beyond fire chief, what do you start looking for in people as they start promoting their way up that rank structure? I mean, what are some of the traits that make for more successful candidates?
I think to start, you always got to remember where you came from. That's a trait you have to remember first. Because when you get in those positions of higher responsibility and authority, you need to really recognize what those other traits involve and the job it takes to do those other jobs. And I think in having that respect for the people that do those jobs, I think as you go up, you remember what it took to do those jobs, you remember the commitment it took, and then as you go up in your new position, you bring back a focus, a work ethic, and really be an example for how the job should be done as you go up into the ranks. Spend, you know, you're not in the blue chair at 5 o'clock. If you're in the engineer, you're under the engine looking at the undercarriage. You're polishing, you're doing whatever it takes. You know, those are back in the days when we were allowed to wash the undercarriage, but you know, honestly, I mean, I think it's the work ethic too. It's the work ethic that it takes to do the job. And I would tell you that I was not ever the smartest person doing a particular job, but I worked very, very hard at what I did. And I put the time and the effort in to do the job to the best of my ability.
I had a captain one day tell me, he says, Coleman, he said, everybody's got a starter button, and I expect you to push it on yourself. I don't expect to have to push your start button every morning when you come to work. And I said, okay, Cap, that's the way it's going to be.
Well, I think that's a really good statement, too, because being a self-starter is really a key. Even from the first time you walk in the door, I didn't mention that, but being a self-starter is very much a key to being a good firefighter. You shouldn't be waiting around to being told what to do. you know, you look around and you know what needs to get done being a firefighter. And you also, if you see your teammates up there doing something with the station or doing something with the apparatus, the fire engine, you're not sitting in the blue chair. You get up and you're the self-starter. You're the one, the catalyst, the one who initiates the project, the one who, you don't need people, you don't need to be wait to be told to do something. So I think that's a key component as you go up through the ranks. You're a self-starter.
Yep. Well, you know, you've witnessed a lot of people who walked the ladder of success, you know, starting at the bottom, going up, and so forth. And from your point of view as a fire chief today, what do you see are some of the greatest dangers to people when they move from one rank to another as they move up in that ladder of success? What are some of the vulnerabilities?
Well, I think somebody that tries to move too fast, and, you know, too fast is relative. I think you need to, you know, and experience is relative. Maybe 5 years down in a busy station down in South Central isn't the same as 5 years in Malibu. Experience is relative. So, and everybody's different. Everybody learns at a different speed, too. So I don't think it's fair to characterize that somebody's moved up the ladder too fast. But I think you need to, and the nice thing about working in larger departments is you have the ability to experience more, work different assignments, work as many different assignments as you can to give yourself a broad breadth of experience. And then pepper, salt and pepper that with formal education and training with the job. And then it's really building on the intangibles that you and I discussed earlier, the commitment, the passion, self-starter, hard work.
I like your word work ethic. You don't hear that word used very much in the context of work environments anymore. But to me, work ethic meant, because I was exposed to that very early in my life, is this sense of what's the right thing to do and do the right thing.
I think that's key, too, in knowing the right thing to do. Sometimes that's hard for people to judge, and then that's where they need mentoring. But I think, too, is some people don't always make the right decision and doing the right thing, and they need mentoring. But I think as you go up the ladder, the bar is raised. You know, the bar is raised on doing the right thing as well, and it should be. You're in greater positions of authority and leadership, and every decision you make, every action that you take, doesn't impact just two or three people anymore. It impacts, you know, hundreds, you know, even thousands in some departments. So it's magnified. So that's where, I mean, and I think people need to go in and look in the mirror and say, okay, this is who I am, and this is who I'm responsible for. And remember that, you know, you're not, just as you progress up the ladder, you're not a firefighter in a fire station anymore.
See, you're alluding to a process that's very, very ambiguous, and that's called transition. You go from a doer as a firefighter to the officer, which is the person who's making some decisions, to ultimately a position like yourself, where I doubt very seriously you pull hose very often, but I got a suspicion that you probably spend a lot of time thinking about how you're going to deal with the County Board of Supervisors and the Department of Finance, etc. So how are all these skill sets supposed to evolve when you go through these different transition stages? Is it a simple process or is it complex?
Well, I'd say as you go up the ladder, I'd say that, yeah, as firefighter, I pulled a lot of hose. As an engineer, I pulled a little bit less hose, and captain a little bit less. But I'd say even as a fire captain, even though you don't have to pull hose, you know, when you're cleaning up, you're getting in the back there and you're helping the guys clean up. You're on top of the hose bed helping load hose. Captains don't have to do that. But You know, it depends on how you want to be seen and what that respect factor is. And, and I think as you go up the ladder, you need to remember that as you go up the ladder, even as a battalion chief, are you going to sit in your battalion chief vehicle and watch the drill, or are you going to participate or lead the drill? Are you going to be a part of the drill? Are you going to tell everybody what your expectations are? And the funny thing is, like you said, it's how much you want to get involved and be a part of that transition. That transition is not easy, but I think to progress and to evolve with the transition, you've got to embrace it. And if you don't embrace it, it's more difficult. And I think through my career, I've tried to do everything to the best of my ability and give it everything I have. And I can tell you that I haven't done everything right every time, but I've done it with the conviction that I'm trying to do the right thing, like you previously mentioned. I'm doing it for the right reasons, and the right reasons of becoming a leader in the fire service.
There's an interesting phenomenon that I've experienced in dealing with people, is that it's not uncommon for people to have a desire to move up the ladder until they get the new job and they suddenly realize that it's not what they thought it was. In other words, the job is not what it looked like. It turned into something different than what it looked like. Where do you think is the toughest transition? From what position to what position is that phenomena probably more likely to occur?
I'd probably say the transition from captain to battalion chief is the toughest transition, because not only, like in a lot of departments, you're wearing a different uniform from captain to battalion chief. Well, that's just the beginning. You are part of the crew. You're part of the guys out there, but you're not. You're also management, and you have to make sure that policy and procedures being followed, that processes are being followed, leadership, providing that leadership. I think that's the toughest transition that I would say. Is it the most, I've always said that the captain position is the backbone of the fire department. Because I always said, especially in the large battalions, I used to work in one battalion that had 16 stations. Believe it or not, one battalion. Some stations, 10 stations. Couldn't visit all those stations every day. Some stations less, but then the geography was so bad. Even in our two battalions here, we have 9 stations in the North County and 7 in the South. It's too many for one battalion. So the captain is really the backbone. The captain runs the station. And a good captain is worth their weight in gold, because then the battalion chief, and I said that with tongue in cheek, worth their weight in gold, because the battalion chief doesn't have to visit as often. But I used to find as a battalion chief, I'd go visit the stations that needed a little bit more guidance and leadership than the other stations. And those were usually the stations that were the slow stations, that we'd call the non-active stations. The more active the station was, less problems, or less leadership, less guidance was needed. So I'd say overall the battalion chief job was probably the toughest transition, because you can no longer, I think like you mentioned in going for gold, you can't be everybody's friend. And so you can still have that respect of everybody, and you can be friends off the job, but when you come into work each day, I think if there's truly that respect, they'll respect you. And again, you have to earn this respect. You can't talk the respect. You can't demand the respect. You have to earn the respect.
Yep. And I've always characterized that respect as being something that has to go both ways. You got to respect your company officers if you want them to respect you, and vice versa. That, generally speaking, it's a reciprocal relationship.
I agree. I think, I had one time, I'll never forget, when I was a new battalion chief, I always wondered what I should do, whether delivering expectations orally or in writing. And, you know, writing is so much more formal, and it turns a lot of people off. But I'll never forget, I'd gone in and give some expectations to a captain that had 25, 30 years on the job. And I thought it went okay at the time, but I'll never forget when he retired, you know, and we had a great working relationship. He said, you know, you really turned me off by that, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you know, but then he got to know who I was and what I was about. And sometimes you take that risk when you're, you know, I think delivery is underrated. The way you deliver the message, it's the way you serve up the message. And I think, you know, sometimes, especially when you haven't worked together for a while, it's hard to find the right way of delivering the message to somebody when you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. So the best way to do it is by action, not by talking. And I think after a while that captain saw what I was all about, and we got along great. But I think overall you have to earn that respect. It's not something, especially somebody that's well seasoned and has been on the job for a long time.
Do you ever know Harvey Anderson in L.A. County?
Yes.
The guy used to show up at the station with the jump rope?
Yes. I met him one time on Broad Beach, one time when I was working out in Malibu.
Yeah, he came to a training officers meeting when he must have been in his 60s or something at the time. Yeah. And he came to this training officers meeting, and he walks up the front of the stage, and all of us guys are sitting there with our suits and ties on, and he starts jumping rope and talking to us.
And, really?
Yeah. And we're getting exhausted watching him, you know. We're all starting to pant.
Was he in uniform?
At the time, yeah, I believe he was. Yes.
Wow, it's a transition that not everybody's cut out for.
No, not at all. But the point of it being is that as we're sitting here kind of contemplating things, and we have no idea who's listening to us right now, whether they're seasoned firefighters, which may or may not want to spend the time to listen to something like this, or they might be a brand spanking new firefighter who has no more aspiration than just to be, you know, get off probation. But the fact is that the fire service has this culture of competency. We kind of expect everybody to know how to do their job. And there's this expectation that as you get more experienced, you do your job better. And as you work your way up, but it used to kind of be a joke in the old days, is that who got to be the chief of department? The best firefighter.
Right.
Well, that's changed. It's right. No longer the best firefighter. It's the most competent person in leadership and management and budget and human resources. And that's why I was interested in your perspectives on the transition. Because at some point in time, all that stuff we do in the Rookie Academy is not relevant to all that stuff we have to do as fire chief.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think you evolve over the years now, and I would agree with you. I think in the past we would award somebody a chief's badge just because they had the time and grade to get the badge, and because there was nobody else standing around that wanted to do it or could do it, and so we gave them a chief's badge, if they had 15 or 20 years on the job or 25, and then we expected them to go out and do the job. And as the fire service changed, and as our jobs changed, and the chief's job certainly changed, even more so, I think, then now we're looking at a different individual than we did before. I remember, you know, there's an individual in LA County who was one of the founding members of FireScope, and he was one of the best fire ground commanders and one of the developers of ICS. But was he cut out to deal with city managers? He had stacks of performance evaluations in his office, stacks of paperwork that just sat there. And while, you know, it's not all about paperwork, you know, part of the job now is administrative and getting that done. And I think that's also what happens a lot, is some people take these jobs because they love to point and shout and go into battle. And then they leave the day in and day out stuff, which is probably 85-90% about what the job is, doesn't get done. And so then major policy decisions within the fire department don't get acted upon, and the fire department is stagnant.
Very good. Well, those observations are pretty much summarize, I think, what we're attempting to accomplish here, and that is to get people to realize that this journey that you go on, to from the top to the bottom or from the side to the side, the fire department, a lot of it is dependent upon your personal accountability and your willingness to do the job. And as I've always told people, I don't know of a single person that's ever been forced to become a fire chief at gunpoint. Most of us are self-inflicted. We decided we wanted to do it, and we chose to do the job. And so the name of the game is to be ready to do the job.
You bet. I think that's a key statement is here. It is self-inflicted. I'd say that the opportunity is a unique opportunity that's it's got a lot of great rewards. And there's also some things you've just got to go into it with your eyes open and know that sometimes it's very lonely. Sometimes it's distasteful. Sometimes it requires you to do things you don't like to do. Some fire chiefs don't like to go to social events or this or that, but it's part of the job. And so some of the same reasons we came on the job aren't why we're fire chiefs, but we did do this because we wanted to make the place better and change organizations for the positive. And for that, I'm grateful to have had that opportunity.
Chief, I can't tell you how grateful we are that you sat here today and just discussed these things with us so we could share it with others. So we're going to wrap up Table Talk for today and move on to other topics. We'll be coming back to talk to you again very soon about other aspects of leadership and management in the fire service.
Thank you very much, Ronnie.
This has been Table Talk with Ronald J. Coleman and Michael S. Williams, produced and distributed by the Fire Services Training Institute. Production assistance by Mark A. Ward. Special thanks to Chief Michael Dyer and the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Remember, train like your life depends on it. Because it does. Table Talk programming is intended for personal and organizational use only. Any duplication or commercial use is prohibited.